Hey, Georgetown, I'm Everick.
And I'm Jake.
And this is GBC Empower Podcast, still without music, and it makes me sad. That was original.
No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't?
No, what was that? If you in the 90s watched Doug, that was the theme song to no, Doug.
I don't even know what the heck that is.
Fantastic show, sir.
Really, Doug? Yes. Who's the lead?
So his name was Doug, and his last name was Funny. So his name was Doug Funny. And he had a friend named Patty Mayonnaise that he really liked. And his best friend name was Skeeter Valentine. And Doug, Doug had all these alter egos because he's kind of like this dorky kid. But he had this alter ego that he imagined he was if he was a superhero. And his name was Quail Man.
I will check that.
It's a great show. I promise there's people listening to this that are like, oh, man, I have forgot about Doug. And then there's people like you that think I'm making this up.
It's not made up. Kids show?
Nickelodeon.
Okay, interesting.
Same time as like Rugrats and all that.
See, I know that. I didn't know Doug. Yeah. Anyways, I was a Chalk Zone guy. Anyways.
Put it in your Google machine.
This is episode number 43 of the GBC Empower Podcast. And before we get started, Jake, are there any famous 43s?
There are famous 43s. So I'm going to give you my heart choice, but what the actual choice is.
Okay.
So there was a player back in the day, if you're an all-time Dallas Cowboys fan, named Cliff Harris. One of the greatest guys in the secondary to ever play for Dallas. He made the Hall of Fame. But really, the mainstream choice is Troy Polamalu, longtime safety for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep.
And if you don't remember him for his football career, many of you have seen him in hair commercials for Head & Shoulders because he had a full head of hair.
That is like the longest hair ever, and it's like super curly, all that
stuff.
Yeah,
it's disgusting. I don't like it.
I'll go on this tangent. I love Troy Polamalu. I absolutely can't stand the Steelers at all. Yeah. But what I loved about Troy is he was in. He might not have made every single tackle, but he was in every single tackle of every single play. And it was super annoying when he played the Cowboys, but it was super awesome when he wasn't.
I appreciate a guy that starts with the team, plays on the team, wins with the team, retires with the team.
And one of the very few that kind of broke the Madden curse, if you know what I'm talking about. But anyways, Jake.
One of the very few secondary as a cover on Madden.
Exactly. One of the very, very few. Trayvon Diggs deserves one. Come on. Number 7. Let's go.
Keep your knees intact, then we can talk about it.
Yeah, that's true. All right, we got a really fun podcast, a really important podcast, and you clicked on it because you checked on the title.
Yes.
But what is, Jake, if I came in as a new person, what would be the steps I would need to take to become an actual leader here at Georgetown Baptist Church?
So you just described what we would see as like a timeline. You put up on the wall, walking in the door on the first day, and eventually a key leader of the church. This is probably different in every church you go to.
Yeah.
And every person who walks into a church probably comes from a different background.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have people that they've not been in church for a long time, or they've never been in church. Or we have folks that come to us, maybe they moved from a previous church, from a previous area where they were a deacon in that church, and then they come to Georgetown and they bring a wealth of experience in some area,
yeah,
or they have a gift that would fall under like the 1 Corinthians 12, or, you know, the book of Romans when it talks about spiritual gifts.
Yeah.
So people come in with these different gifts and they may be wondering, how do I get there? Well, the first thing we ask people to do is when they come and they get to know the church, they come to worship services, maybe they join a small group.
Mm-hmm.
We ask all people to attend what we call a Next Steps class.
Yeah, absolutely.
That happens once a month, the second Sunday of every month during the 9 o'clock hour. It's a one-time class that we ask people to come to where they learn what does Georgetown believe, where do we stand on certain beliefs. And I couldn't encourage you more to come to that because you don't want to join a church that you don't know or understand.
Yeah, yeah. And I actually had the opportunity to teach one of the Next Steps class, and me as a longtime member of this church, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I really liked it. It might be something where I would actually encourage, even if you've been a member of this church long enough, like take a Sunday and go to that Next Steps class because it's really fun. And like I said, it's a small group. We pray for each other. We get to know people and all that stuff. And then, yeah, you get to ask further questions and just find out really what the church believes. And so
the next one's May the 12th.
May 12th. Okay.
So come and enjoy it and be there. So you would do that. then you would come forward during one of our worship services during the invitation time, and you would make it known to our church family, I would like to be a member of the church. Mm-hmm. And then we have quarterly business meetings. I believe the next one's in June, where our membership will vote to confirm all the people who have made those decisions in as a member of the church. So that's how you become a member.
Yeah,
it's not a very exhaustive process. Some churches, they'll have a month-long class. Yeah. We right now, and where our church is, this is our process. Mm-hmm. So you become a member. Now what? What do we want you to do? Well, you know, Mav, you've been a part of the church longer than I have, but you know, since I've been here, we've been really working on developing that a little bit. What is the main thing we want every person in our church to be and become at Georgetown?
And you've heard of this, and if you, maybe you've been a member, even if you've been a member for a long time and you want to start serving and all that stuff, and you're like, well, what's the next step? How do I get in? Guys, we really, really, really encourage you to get discipled. Yes. And what I mean by that is we actually have like this, it's a 10-week Bible study, and like over 100 people in our church have already gone through it. And so that means over 100 people are capable enough of teaching you how to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so it's a model. And again, it's not the perfect model, end all be all. It's just what we do because we think it's a good tool. It's called the Strand Discipleship. And we encourage you, if you're a member and you have not been discipled, to contact me or Jake, and we will make sure that you get discipled here at Georgetown Baptist Church.
Yes, and we have people come to us and they say, Jake, I've been discipled. I've had people in my life pouring into my life forever, and we acknowledge that. We don't claim that we have found the market on discipleship. It's really not about that as much as we want our people to fellowship together under the same model. So if you were to think, like, how do I go from simply being a member that attends, I think one of your first steps, and this is just important as a Christian, is to let some people pour into you, because I promise there's something you've never learned that'll help you. But we require anyone in our church that teaches, that people are going to sit under their teaching to go through this. We don't require, like, if you want to go help out in the parking lot and help get people, you know, drive people around, or if you want to greet people when they walk in, or if you want to help serve at the different things that our church is doing, we don't require you to be discipled, but we highly encourage it. But if you are leading as a teacher, you're serving on one of our main committees, which would be, you know, our missions committee, finance committee, personnel committee. It's a requirement. We want people to be discipled because we want us to always remember the why behind every single thing that we do. Yeah. So with that being said, you know, why, Maverick, you know, you're our youth minister. You have what's called your youth team. They're not our youth. We don't have a youth committee,
no,
but we have a youth team. You're looking around for people to serve in the youth. What are you looking for? How can a person who has a heart for teenagers come and talk to you and kind of work through eventually serving in the youth ministry?
Yeah. So one of the main things is I want, and I really desire, everyone in the youth to be discipled. And here's why, is because the main jobs we have is, like, youth are going to look up to you and they're going to ask you questions and all that stuff. And so while you might not be directly teaching them the Bible and all that stuff, you're going to be teaching them parts of the Bible, because we have a lot of youth, and not everyone will go to me. You'll basically build relationships with these students and all that stuff. And so it is a more intentional serving deal. And so I do ask you to be a member. I do ask you to be a disciple. And so that does mean that the pool is a little limited and all that stuff. But really what I want you to do after you become a member, after you get discipled, is, like, I need you to just have a heart really for serving. Mm-hmm. Really, like, I'm not saying you must have the greatest heart for youth and all that stuff. That's not it. I need you to have a heart of serving, because what we do in the youth is, guys, we serve.
Yes.
We're not that stereotypical of a church, but, you know, the stereotypical youth group is like, man, we get the bottom of the barrel, the Band-Aid scraps and all that stuff. And really, why it's not like that, but it's like, you're going to serve, you know, you're going to clean up messes, you're going to, you know, do all this stuff. But because we serve and because we do the little jobs that no one else wants to do, we also have the in my opinion, one of the greatest opportunities to teach them and plant the seeds of the gospel message and then help it grow. There's two girls graduating our youth this year who have been through youth group 7th through 12th grade. And there's been people that have been there since the beginning watching that seed and helping it grow. And that's really what I'm asking you to do. So they're serving, there's picking up heavy things, there's cleaning, there's you know, getting on to kids for talking, all that stuff, but in a loving way. But you also get to see these kids grow massively in their faith and you get to watch them get discipled and all that stuff. So really that's the track is become a member. Get discipled and just have a heart to serve. And I would have you every single Wednesday if I could.
Well, and you can come and you can literally look around and find areas within the church that maybe interest you, but it's not just about what you're interested in.
No, it's
what am I called to? Mm-hmm. What are places? We have people in our church that perk up the moment I say the word missions. The moment I talk about leaving our church building and going out and serving in the community or going out and serving in the world, we got what we're thinking, 30 people going on two mission trips. We're going on two mission trips, and out of that group, there's 30 people going to Mexico this summer. And, you know, just because maybe you weren't on the missions committee doesn't mean you can't serve in missions or help the missions committee.
Absolutely.
We want people who feel called to an area once they've established the fact that they're a member and they're a disciple to dive into what God could call them to do. So it's kind of a weird deal. Some people come into a church and they kind of go, okay, what's the line of influence and authority? And it can almost look like a pyramid, mm-hmm. like you've got the general area and more you get involved, the higher up you are. And I guess you could kind of see it that way at our church, but that's not our desire. Our desire is to look like Jesus's ministry looked. And Jesus, as the leader of the church, I mean, he was amongst the people.
Yeah.
And he disarmed the idea of rising to the top of the organization. In fact, he actually pointed people more towards what the world would call the bottom.
Yeah.
And I know that can be weird for people, but you know, a great way to say this is some people might think, well, in order to be a real leader at Georgetown, where I'm a part of all the conversations, I'm a part of the ins and outs of all that God is doing, man, I'm gonna have to become a deacon.
Yeah.
You know, because deacons have all of this leadership and influence. And I understand why people think that, because a lot of churches have given a pretty weird model of what a deacon is.
Absolutely.
And there are times when, you know, like Georgetown, they were without a pastor for a very long period of time. And some of the people at Georgetown had to rise up in leadership as a deacon. And people go, well, that means that's just what a deacon does all the time. No, that was just for transition. A normal deacon simply goes and checks on widows. A normal deacon, it's like the other day I saw Keith Henderson, and he was up here on a Wednesday night. He didn't have a job. And I saw my brother carrying around a broom and sweeping after the kids got done eating pizza. It was the job nobody wanted to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I want to kind of disarm the idea that, oh, how do I become a person on the ins and outs? Well, we really try to not even have that type of model to begin with.
Yeah, and I totally get like why it could possibly seem like that, but I promise you, you ask any one of our deacons, you ask any one of our ministers, like, it's we're not in a prominent position of like power and authority. No, God sits there. We're just doing our best to serve. And so really, like, you want to become like a leader in our deal. Like Jake already said, then you must become the least. And that's biblical. I think you have Mark 10 pulled up. You want to read that right now?
I mean, the Bible. Wow.
Sorry. No, not really. I'm just kidding.
So just a little bit of context. James and John, sons of Zebedee, a better way to describe them is the sons of thunder.
Sons of thunder.
They were the sons of thunder before we knew about Thor, all right?
Yeah, that's
and,
true.
You know, James and John, they go up to Jesus and they say, man, we want you to do whatever you tell us. And Jesus just shows his love and he says, what do you want? And he said, well, we want to sit at your right and your left hand in glory. And Jesus says, listen, that's really not anything I can offer you? And are you ready to drink the cup I'm about to have to drink? You know, Jesus is about to go up on the cross.
Yeah.
He's like, do you really want this? Do you really know what you're asking? And he goes to the rest of the disciples, because the rest of the disciples are looking at James and John going, why would you ask for such a thing? What is wrong with you? The truth is they probably asked what a lot of the guys are thinking. Here's what Jesus tells them in verse 42 of Mark chapter 10. He says, Jesus called them over and said to them, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in high positions act as tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. On the contrary, whoever wants to become great among you will be like your servant. They'll be your servant. Whoever wants to be first among you will be a slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus was telling his people, you want to rise up in my kingdom? Then you become a servant. You become a person that does what nobody else wants to do. Yeah. You find the difficult spots and you dive in. So to say, how do you become a leader at Georgetown? Be like Jesus.
Yeah.
Live like Jesus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You want to know who's on the youth leadership team? Two deacons and a loving family with a heart for youth, that they might love youth more than I do. Like, yeah. I mean, that's really who's on our youth team. And you might not even know that two deacons serve in the youth. You might, if you've been here long enough, you know, but you might not even know, because they do so much stuff behind the scenes. You know why it's sometimes hard for us to find volunteers? It's because, like, We want servants.
Yes.
We want servants. And you know, you're in a church, that should be easy. And here's the deal. It's getting easier day by day, because we're growing with God together. I want to encourage you with that. It's getting easier day by day. But why it might seem hard, or might seem like our team is small, is because we're not asking anybody and everybody to serve, which was probably the old model, you know, way back when. Maybe not. I don't know. I wasn't there. but we're asking servants. Yes. To come up, because, man, that's you come. I use the youth example because, again, that's where I work. I want the youth, every chance they are up here, to see what a servant looks like.
So I can give you real life examples at Georgetown of what I'm talking about, because the truth is, God's the authority of our church, and we're just trying to line up under him and let God be in charge.
Yeah.
And, you know, a few weeks ago, you had the North Texas Easter retreat. Yeah. And like any youth trip I've ever been a part of, we ran into a situation where we need somebody's help at the last second.
Absolutely.
Justin Wheatley works every day for hours and hours and hours and hours. And on the day that we needed the help, because the problem arose on the day, there was no time to anticipate that. Justin Wheatley showed up after advising people financially all day and got on a van and drove some kids to Oklahoma and then drove the van back and had to be at work the next day.
Yeah.
You know, did I get up in the pulpit and go, man, y'all, we need to give Justin the medal of service? Well, no, because a lot of people would say that's just kind of an arbitrary thing. But in the kingdom of God, that's not arbitrary.
Yep.
That's how it works. We step up when people call for people to be stepped up. Another example is a lady in our church by the name of Diane Moss.
Oh, my goodness.
You talk to our women, they will tell you, I can count on Diane.
Mm-hmm.
I can count on Diane to be there when I need her to be there. I can count on Diane for love and encouragement. And Diane is a spiritual giant in our church that some people might not even know.
Yeah.
Because she just loves people like Jesus. Now, people who have roles in our church, like actual leadership roles, you know, Wes Ginawan, he's our chairman of our personnel committee.
Yep.
And the people that serve on that. Bruce Barnett is our chairman of finance. Bill Austin is our chairman of missions. We hold these people to a high standard.
Yeah.
We hold them to a standard because they are having to lead some areas. And we expect service out of all three of those gentlemen. And guess what? They do it better than I do.
Yeah, they're servants.
You know, I get up and I get to preach to people, but I try my best to be in places nobody else wants to be the rest of the week, because I want to listen to a leader that is trying to be humble before Jesus. And so if you kind of have like this Western mindset of, man, I want to go to this church, I want to be somebody. Okay, you can be somebody. You can be somebody that gets a call when somebody needs it the most and step up for them the way Jesus did. And sure, maybe there will be days when you get recognized for that because we try to encourage one another spiritually. Yeah, I try to walk up to people often and say, do you know how much you're doing in the kingdom of God? And 9 times out of 10, they don't. So I try to tell them and they don't know how to handle it. But here's the cool part, y'all. Whether people are saying it or not saying it, a healthy church is full of servants.
Yeah.
Servant leaders. So I just encourage you, kind of stop for a minute and kind of get out of your mind. What's a leader? And just really think about what Jesus told his disciples that. I mean, these guys are the disciples, the apostles. Like,
yeah.
They're not just a mere group of men. These are men that the world got turned upside down whenever they were unleashed in Acts chapter 2. And yet they had to be servants to do that. So we want to be the kind of church that has that same idea.
Yeah, absolutely. I could not say it better myself. So one thing.
No, you couldn't. It's a joke.
No, it's not. I know how you really feel.
No, I'm a servant. In fact, I don't even need to talk right now.
Oh, gosh. This went off the rails. Anyways, thank you guys so much for listening. Yes, this is the step of like, man, I'm a new person here, or I'm a member. How do I move up in the ranks of Jerusalem? Really, we're just asking people to become servants because we feel like that's biblical, and we think God's calling us to do the exact same thing. And so now I'm going to leave it to you. Help us be accountable for that. You know, like anytime there's a chance to serve and we're like, ah, oh, we're too good for that, help keep accountable. Hopefully you don't have to, but
quick example, if anybody, so this year I watched women's college basketball extensively because I kept hearing about this girl named Caitlin Clark in Iowa. Yeah. Caitlin Clark, great basketball player.
Oh yeah.
But I watched Iowa was a good team because she had some people behind her that were really making it happen, but they go against South Carolina. I saw one statistic that told me everything I needed to learn about why South Carolina went undefeated and while they were a national champion. They had a 9-player rotation, and the coach said, any of these 9 players can be on the court at any time and we can win ball games. And for throughout the entire tournament, there was only one time that a person was a repeat leading scorer.
Wow.
You want to talk about scary is when a team goes from any direction, a person can rise, but at the same time, the next game, they can be the person supporting the person that rises. I think that's a pretty sweet model for a church.
There's a basketball team who everybody on the team, starting 5, the bench players, they all had like 14 points. You know what's scarier than one kid scoring 40? 10 kids scored 14. Yep. Like, I mean, it was insane. They blew this team out of the water, and it was awesome to watch. Anyways, yep, basketball.
I can always give a sports analogy.
I could too.
I'm like Wyatt Earp.
Anyways, thank you guys so much for listening to GBC Empower Podcast. And as always, if you have any questions, please let us know. And if you're musically talented, send your send your music and we'll
make sure that we don't commit copyright
infringement. That's what it is.
The lawyers of Doug have already called me twice during this podcast.
Yeah, so if you want to send music, we'll play it. Okay, yeah, absolutely. Anyways, bye guys. Take care and have a great rest of your Sunday.